What exactly does that mean? Is it somebody with a great job, a big house, a fine car, somebody who has a great education that's opened all kinds of doors for them to walk through? People who have had opportunities to go places and do things that very few people are able to do in this life. What do you think about when you think about somebody who's had it made? Most of the time, when I think of somebody along those lines, I think of the kind of people that others look at and say, that's my role model. That's the kind of person I'd like to be like one day. You look at them and you think, boy, if I could only get to where they are, then I would have it made. But here's the second question for this morning. Well, what happens when you have it all? And all is not enough. What happens when you are that kind of person that everybody describes as having it made? And everybody's looking at you, and everybody respects you, and everybody wants to walk in your shoes. And yet for you, you recognize something is still missing. These days we're looking at some of the people who met Jesus, and among them is a man named Nicodemus. He's revealed in John chapter 3. Of probably all of the people who encountered Jesus in a lifetime, Nicodemus is one of the most famous. Almost everybody can recognize that it was in that conversation with Nicodemus that Jesus said, "For God so loved the world." Nicodemus was one of those people who had it made. Everybody around him wanted to be like Nicodemus. They wanted to have the things that Nicodemus had. They wanted to do the things that Nicodemus was able to do. They wanted to know the things that Nicodemus knew. They wanted to be like Nicodemus, one of the most educated men in Israel, respected by everybody who knew him. Wherever he went, his opinion mattered, and people would stop and listen to what he had to say. He was a spiritual man, a leader in the temple, a national leader who was respected for his integrity. When he walked down the street, parents would point him out to their children and say, "Someday you need to be like Nicodemus." As far as everybody could see, Nicodemus had it made. But deep inside, something was missing. There was a restlessness in his soul. He recognized that for all he had, there was a sense of emptiness deep inside, that as much as other people wanted to be like him, he recognized, "I'm still not what I ought to be. Something's missing. Something doesn't fit." That feeling only grew after Jesus came to town and Nicodemus heard him for the first time, because as he listened to him, he recognized there's something in Jesus that I don't have. He represents something that I need in my life. And every time he heard the teacher, his heart grew more restless. That's why John tells us that he waited his time, came at night when all the crowds had gone away, and he sat down to talk to Jesus one-on-one, face-to-face. He came looking for answers, and he desperately hoped Jesus could give them to him. I can't help but think there are a lot of people just like Nicodemus around us today. They have everything that the world has told them was going to make them happy. They have gone out and they have accumulated wealth, and they have purchased the things that are supposed to be important, and they have achieved everything that's supposed to lead to happiness. And they've met their goals. And everybody around them says, "Look at them." And deep inside they know, it's not enough. If you're one of those people, then you need to hear about what happened when Jesus encountered Nicodemus. This is a powerful lesson about what Christ can do in the life of an individual. And it also shows us the core message. As we're looking at the life of Jesus this year, and as we're encountering the people that he encountered, one of the things that's so important about John chapter 3 is that's where Jesus says, this is what matters most. This was the core message of his life and his ministry. And through Nicodemus, Jesus is saying to all of us, this is where it all begins. So let's take a few minutes and let's look at this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, because there are four things that Jesus wanted Nicodemus to know, and each one of those things was essential to having a life that really knew what it meant to be full. Let's look together at what happens when your life is right with God. The first thing you need to know is this. Nicodemus thought he was coming to Jesus for advice. He started the conversation by sitting down with Jesus of Nazareth, and he simply said, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you're a teacher come from God. He was saying to him, I've been listening to you. I've heard what other people are saying about you. I've been paying attention to your words, and there's no doubt about it. You come from God. In fact, he went on to say, nobody could do the things you do unless God was with him. In other words, he was saying, I know you have wisdom. I know you're close to the Lord. I've seen the evidence. There's something special about you. I know there is something you can tell me that will show me how to make my life complete. I've been watching your life. I've been listening to your words. I've been paying attention to what's going on inside of you. And I know this. If I can just learn the things that you know, then I too can make my life right with God. All he wanted from Jesus was good advice on how to live a fulfilled life. The truth is, when this conversation began, Nicodemus truly thought this. I'm going to go visit Jesus by night. I'm going to sit down with him. He's going to give me some good advice on how to live a full life. And then I'll go back to my house and back to my life. And I'll begin to apply those things. And I won't need Jesus anymore. I will have gotten everything he has to give me. He was not prepared for what Jesus would say to him. Nicodemus had no idea he was about to have a life-changing encounter with the Lord. What he could not have known when he sat down before Jesus that evening was this: after tonight, my life will be forever changed. I will never be the same person again. You see, Jesus confronted Nicodemus as a man who needed everything, not as a man who had everything. He said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he said to him, your problem, Nicodemus, is that your heart is not right with God. That was the core message that Jesus came to proclaim. Lost people need to be saved. And lost people include people like you, Nicodemus. Lost people include people that think they're already there. Then Jesus began to talk to him about what needed to be changed. The first thing he told Nicodemus is this: don't assume that you are born right with God. Don't assume that the very fact that you walk this planet and breathe the air on it means your life is right with God. Now, for Nicodemus, that was radical news. He had been taught all of his life, God loves you just because you're walking this planet. He was an Israelite, one of God's chosen people. From the day he had been born, Nicodemus had been taught he was among God's chosen people. No matter what he did or where he lived, nobody could take that identity away. He believed he was a son of God by birthright. That's what he had been told all of his life long. The very fact that you were born a Jew means you have special standing with God. The very fact that you are among God's chosen people means he looks at you in a different way than he looks at all of those other people that walk the face of this planet. Imagine what a shock it was when Jesus told him, you have to be born again. Nicodemus had always thought his right standing with God came from the fact that he had been born. And now Jesus is saying, you must be born again. The first birth into the Jewish race was not enough to make him right with God. Jesus told him that he had to be born of water and the Spirit. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, to be born of water was a reference to physical birth. It was all about the amniotic fluid that surrounds a child in the womb. What he was saying was this: everybody who is born exactly the same way. Doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter what your heritage is, it doesn't matter who your people are, doesn't matter what your family is, every one of us are born exactly the same way into this world. Every person is born of water. But being born physically doesn't make you right with God. He said, you also have to be born of the Spirit, an eternal birth. To be physically alive does not mean you are spiritually alive. In fact, what Jesus would say is this: if you're not born of the Spirit, then you're spiritually unborn. As we walk the face of the planet, we are physically born, but we are spiritually unborn apart from Christ. Ephesians 2:1 says, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Why is it important to understand that? Why is it important to understand that you may be physically born, but you're spiritually unborn? Why is it important to understand you must be born again? Because that's one of the greatest lies that Satan tells people today. Now, today, we don't exactly hear it in popular culture the way Nicodemus did. Nicodemus would say, because of your race, because of your heritage, because of the people to whom you were born, God loves you. These days, popular culture will say something like this: because of the very fact that you are alive, you are already right with God. God loves you. God wants you. There's nothing you have to do. You are exactly fine just the way you are. Because of that, we begin to hear popular culture saying something like this to us: so you don't need God. You don't need church. You don't need spiritual things. You don't need anything. You're perfect just the way you are. And along comes Jesus, who said to Nicodemus and says to you and says to me, but you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. Too many people believe that just being alive makes you one of God's children. But that is not true. Jesus said, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Being born once will never be enough. That's not what I say. It's what the Bible says. It's not just what the Bible says. It's what Jesus said. Don't assume you're born right with God. And then he goes on and he says something that's equally startling to Nicodemus. He says, and don't believe you can earn God's approval by yourself. It's important to recognize how John introduced Nicodemus from the beginning. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. It's telling us a couple of very important things about Nicodemus. It tells us he was a Pharisee. That was not an identity, that was a commitment. To be a Pharisee was to embrace a way of living to please the Lord. You know, too often we think of the Pharisees as the bad guys of the Bible, because there's so many times when Jesus finds himself in conflict with scribes and Pharisees. But they were among the most spiritual people in Israel during their day. The Pharisees were people who were serious about pleasing God. There was one group that was so extreme and so committed to trying to please God that they thought no man can look upon a woman and stay right with God. And so they made a commitment, this particular group of Pharisees, and they said, if I'm walking down the street and I see a woman walking the other way, I will close my eyes rather than sin against God. And so they found themselves walking into walls and bouncing off of trees. And you know what they were called? This is the honest truth. They were called the bruised and bleeding Pharisees. And if you saw a man that just looked like he had been beaten up constantly, that's probably who you were seeing. What am I saying? Pharisees were serious about being spiritual people. They were committed to knowing and understanding the Old Testament scriptures. They were careful to obey all of God's laws. The Pharisees are the ones who created the synagogue system, so that ordinary people in ordinary towns could have somewhere to go where somebody would teach them about God and God's Word. They were the ones who kept the faith alive during that time between the end of the prophets and the birth of John the Baptist. Their greatest mistake was believing that by the things they did, they could make themselves right with God. I will be so obedient and so spiritual that God will have to love me. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a deeply committed spiritual man. But that's not all. The Bible also says Nicodemus was one of the rulers of the Jews. This was not an inherited position. This was not something you were born to. Rather, it was something that you earned. It meant that other leaders had come to respect your wisdom and your judgment. Other people had watched your faith and your obedience, and they decided you are one of those people we trust to lead us. You were worthy to help make the decisions that would guide the life and the faith of the Jewish people. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews. In other words, what the Bible is saying is this: if anyone could earn his way into heaven, Nicodemus was way ahead of most of the people he knew. If it were possible for somebody to earn their way in, Nicodemus would be one of the ones who had done it. But it wasn't enough. Jesus shocked Nicodemus because this is what he said to him. He said, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" In other words, how is it that you can be so wise and so spiritual and such a leader and yet you don't know how to be right with God? Your effort still falls so far short of earning God's approval. If there are some people around us today who just assume the very fact that I'm alive means that God, that I'm all right with God, there are also people who will spend a lifetime thinking, if I can just do enough right things, if I can just escape enough of the mistakes of my life, if I can just do enough things that make me a good person, then maybe the Lord will accept me. Maybe the Lord will love me. I remember years ago a friend asking me to accompany her to church on a Sunday night because she'd been asked to share her testimony with her church family. And she shared about how she had come to know Christ and what the Lord had done in her life. And she said, "And my greatest desire is that I'll keep pleasing Him so that maybe someday I'll get to go to heaven." What was her problem? She thought, I've still got to prove myself. I'm going to have to prove myself till the day I die. And if I ever slip, I might miss it. The problem is, no matter how hard you try and no matter what you do, you're always going to fall short. Jesus reminds us that the best of the best, if the best of the best fall short, then none of us has a chance to make ourselves right with God. And today, if you're here and you're thinking, if I can just earn it, if I can just prove myself worthy, then maybe someday God will save me. You need to understand, it's never going to work. Never has, never will. Nobody's ever been able to do it. Then Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He said, don't tell yourself that you can discover the secret to being right with God. That was what had brought Nicodemus to Jesus to begin with. He thought, if I can talk to you, then I'll discover the secret. I'll get the key, and once I do, I'll understand what to do. I can discover how to make my life right with God. If he could figure out what to do, then he could find his own way to peace with God. And Jesus told him bluntly, the most important things cannot be discovered. They have to be revealed by the Lord. If you're thinking, I'm on a spiritual journey, and if I'm serious enough about it, and if I talk to enough people, and if I study enough things, and if I go to enough places, then sooner or later, I'll discover the secret. Sooner or later, I'll know how to make myself right with God. You're going to be sorely disappointed. This is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? What's he saying? He's saying, Nicodemus, it's not in you to discover how to be right with God. I'm trying to tell you how to be right with God. If I can't tell you about what's going on here, how in the world are you going to understand what it means to be right with God in eternity? That's why salvation never begins with any of us. It always begins with the Lord. You can't discover it by yourself. It is he who reveals himself to you. Never met a person, never will, who made up their mind one day, you know, I think I'm going to save myself. I think I'm going to be saved. I think I'm going to make myself right with God. I've been looking and I've been thinking and I've been discovering and I've been researching and I think I'm going to make myself right with God. What has to happen? There has to be that spark that comes from the Holy Spirit speaking deep inside your soul that says today is the day when you got to make a decision about Jesus. You don't look for him until first he's reaching out to you. It is Jesus who makes it personal. And when he calls you to salvation, he calls you to salvation. That's why it's important to recognize this conversation happened face to face and heart to heart. It was only Jesus and only Nicodemus, because that's how it works. Only Christ and only you. And only Christ reaches out to only you and tells you that it is time and God wants to save you. He knows your name. He sees your heart. He loves you and wants to save you. And in everybody's life, there comes that moment when you know he's speaking to me. I call it that moment when the truth becomes your truth. When things that you've heard and even believed for a lifetime all of a sudden take on life of their own, and you begin to realize, yes, he's talking to everybody, but mostly he's talking to me. I've got a decision to make. I've got to decide on my own, what am I going to do with Jesus? Nobody can discover the way to the Lord. He has to show you the way. Jesus said, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." In other words, Jesus came down to accomplish for you what you could never accomplish on your own. He came to make it possible for you to be right with God. I descended because that's where you are. And I came to reach out to you and to make you right with God. So what did Nicodemus have to do? If he was not born right with God, if he couldn't do enough to earn God's approval, if there was no way to discover how to be right with God, there was only one way. He had to believe in Jesus. Not as a teacher, but as a Savior. Remember how the conversation began? "Teacher, we know that you're a godly man." It's not enough to know Jesus as a teacher. You trust Jesus as Savior. And that's what Nicodemus had to learn. Jesus said, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." What does that passage mean? It means it's all about Jesus. It's all about the cross. There's no other way to be right with God. When you trust the one who was lifted up, you receive a free gift, eternal life. It's true for Nicodemus. It's true for you. It begins with Christ calling you, but it ends with how you choose to respond. You see, the God who takes the initiative in reaching out to you and speaking to your heart will not compel you to trust him. He will not force you to enter the kingdom. Rather, he invites you to receive the Savior. And then you have to decide what you're going to do next. Will I trust the Savior? Here's something interesting. The Bible does not say what kind of decision Nicodemus made. Nicodemus and Jesus would continue this conversation. John 3:16 will be a part of it. Jesus will go beyond that and talk about the value of being saved and the danger of being unsaved. But when the conversation is over, the Bible doesn't say what happened next. I think that's on purpose. Because I think the Bible's making this point. Every time the Lord calls somebody's name, they have to make their own decision. And it's a personal decision. What will I do with Jesus? I can trust him. And I believe that's what Nicodemus did. But I can also turn away from him. And Nicodemus could have disappeared into the night and never come into that saving relationship with Jesus. Here's the thing for all of us. I can trust him. I can turn away from him. But I have to do something with him. Once I have encountered Jesus, I have to decide, what am I going to do with this one who's calling my name? And you have a choice to make. In this room today, there are so many people who have made that decision. who heard him called their name and who said yes. But there may be others who have never made that decision. Maybe you're here today and you're like some of those who have heard the truth all your life. You know the truth. If I asked you to share the gospel, you could tell me what it takes to be saved. But the truth is, you've never had a saving encounter with Jesus Christ. It's never become personal. And if so, then today is the day when you need to be saved. You need to trust Him. And maybe in a minute when we stand and sing our invitation hymn, and I'm here and Dr. Hutchins is here, you'll want to come and say to one of us, help me come to know Christ as my Savior. It may be that you're here this morning, you've never heard this message in your life. But when you heard that conversation that took place between Jesus and Nicodemus, you began to think, that's me. That's me. And I need to trust Him. And maybe you need to come and say, tell me more. Tell me how I can know Him as my Savior and not just as a teacher. Or maybe you're here and God is calling you to be part of what He's up to at First Baptist Church, and He wants you to bring your membership and plant it here, not just so your name's on a roll, but because you want to be part of the ministry that God is doing through First Baptist Church. Maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing. As God speaks to you, this is your opportunity to come. Will you? Let's stand together. Let's sing.